So we are in for a treat this morning. Michael is a good friend. I want to tell you, 20 years ago, up in Dolphins Barn, Michael came and preached for us. And he's been coming over to Ireland throughout these last 20 years. He's an Irish man. Let's give it up for him.
Amen. Wow. I just want to come to this church to get the applause. That's incredible. I wish my wife was here to see that. And hear it. Please do it again. We're going to record it for my wife. Michael McNamee. Wow. She'll never believe it. She'll never believe it. It's an incredible privilege to be back here. The last time I was here, actually, you were in the other place. And you've really moved uptown. This is fantastic. Some of you I recognize. Some of you are looking good. And the rest of you, well, you know, God can help you. And some of you need help, like me. Anyway, God has really used Pastor Noel and his beautiful wife, Sharon. We need to pray for her father today. Let's just pray for her right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, in that hospital right now, whatever is happening, we can trust you, Lord God. We are not, sometimes we're fearful, but your perfect love casts out our fear. We can put it in your hands, Lord God. So we just pray in Jesus' precious name that you will touch them, heal them, do whatever has to be done, Lord God. We give you the praise and the glory. Amen. And it's so wonderful to be back in Ireland. Well, you know, this is Dublin. I'm from Belfast, but this is part of Ireland. Okay. And the only difficulty I had coming here this morning was that Noel supports Chelsea. And I'm a Manchester United supporter. But the Lord told me if I prayed for him, afterwards in the darkened room, he'd be okay. So the reason we are here is because we love Jesus. That was an incredible thing behind us today, wasn't it? I mean, to see this church, I'm into compassion. You know, I'm compassion. I look at myself in the mirror, you know, and I don't like what I see. You know, my hair's going. You know, my teeth, McDonald's have destroyed them. You know, I'm short. I don't have the clothes that Noel has. He looks so cute, doesn't he? You know, I wish I was taller and thinner and talk with a Dublin accent. But, you know, every day of my life, God looks down at me and he goes, coochie, coochie, coo. Which is Irish, as you know. And because God loves me. And despite what we've done, despite what we're doing, despite what people say about us, you know, even our own partner at times can say that we are not that good. But even our people around us, they can diminish us, and we look at our own failures and our own idiosyncrasies, but God looks at us all the time. You know, our best friends know the best about us, and they sometimes think the worst. Jesus knows the worst about us, but he always thinks the best. And I want to share something with you this morning. You are beautiful in the eyes of God, and no matter what you've done, God, you know, we can trust the unknown future to a known God. When we can't trace God's hand in our life, we can trust his heart. And I want to say to this church, no church has a future unless its dreams are bigger than its memories. And this church has gone through some incredible experiences. But without prophesying today, because I know your pastor in his heart, I know some of your leadership, God's got great and mighty things for this church, because this city of Dublin desperately needs God. People want to hear that they're relevant. People want to hear that they're worthwhile. And in the eyes of God, he can really, really change you. Your past cannot and will not dictate your future when you give your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's so wonderful to be here this morning. You know, some of you were there the other day. The guy from Ballymena made a tremendous opening line the other day. For those of you who heard about it, I apologize. He said, I've got good news for you this morning. I want to use the words of Elizabeth Taylor, the movie star, to her seventh husband. I won't be with you long. So I'm not going to speak long this morning, but I want to talk about compassion. I want to read one story of compassion, a simple story from the Bible. It's in the book of Matthew, which is the first book in the Old Testament. You know, the Bible's fed into the New Testament, the Bible in the Old Testament, New Testament. It's the first book in the New Testament, and it's chapter 20. You know, I speak a lot in the United States of America, and I always have to apologize for my accent. This is the only place in the world where I don't have to apologize for my accent, because you guys speak worse than I do. But I don't understand you. Somebody said to me something yesterday. I didn't know what he was talking about. I think he wanted to go to the toilet. And I gave him a bar of chocolate. Having a clue what he was talking about. Matthew 20 and verses 29 to 34, it says, as Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, the city of Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the road. And when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. They were blind. The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus stopped and called them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, we want our sight. Jesus had compassion upon them, and he touched their eyes. And immediately they received their sight, and they followed him. Jesus, the Son of the living God, he was important. He was more important than the Prime Minister or the First Minister of North Ireland or Southern Ireland. He was more important than Barack Obama. He was a busy man. All day long, people, their hands reached out to him. They wanted a piece of him. And sometimes you can get absolutely compassion overload. But the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that's who he is, our model, never, never, never became tired of helping people. And I just love being in a church like this. You guys look different than me, and one day you'll get better. But you, through your outreaches to Belarus and the community, this church, Liberty Church, and through the passion of your pastor, you are not tired of reaching out to this community and say the answer to the world is Jesus Christ. People are desperately, desperately, desperately looking for an answer. I did not meet the Lord until I was 28 years of age. I was brought up a Roman Catholic in Northern Ireland, heavily involved in the Troubles. And I never liked myself. When I reached the age of 28, I despised myself. I despised my family. I hated black people, white people, green people. I drank a lot. I mean, I hated every single person. I did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought I was worthless. I thought I was without talent. I thought I was ugly. Can you imagine? I thought I was ugly. And all of God, everybody's saying, yes, I can imagine that. But Jesus of Nazareth walked into my life, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. I want to say something. Every single one of us wants, you know, when you look at that picture there of all those little kids in Belarus, you just want to be a part of it. Every single one of us wants to be good from the inside out. Every one of us wants to touch people and be relevant and just be a part of something nice. Isn't that right? We really do. And the world and circumstances pushes down. But every single one of us here this morning, God loves you as much as he loves anybody else in this world. Now, there's some people I have problems with. And then my wife tells me, God loves them as much as he loves you. And I say, he couldn't. Because I'm better. I'm cuter. I'm taller. I'm thinner. I'm a better dancer. I'll show you later on. God loves every single person here equally. That is absolutely overwhelming to me. And no matter what you've done, no matter what you're doing, God wants to use you. We've been called to restore the spiritual hunger of this community, every one of us. Because from the moment you're born with the spirit inside you. It cries out for satisfaction. That's why people turn to drink, especially if you're Irish. That's why people turn to drugs. That's why people fight. They're trying to appease that something inside them. But the only way your spirit can be satisfied is when your spirit meets with the spirit of the living God. There's some people here today who don't even know what I'm talking about. But there's something inside you wants to be satisfied. And we who know the Lord, we've been called to restore spiritual hunger. We've been called to restore spiritual brokenness. People are broken. And we've been called in this church to release a spiritual abundance. What happens in this church is not just for this church. It's not just for Belarus. But what is happening here is needed in the country of Ireland. I want to talk to you one word today. Compassion. People who are successful with God are moved by compassion. It's easy to be moved by compassion when you see kids from Belarus. It's easy to be moved by compassion when you see little babies in Haiti lying underneath the debris. But are you moved by compassion with the drunk who's unkempt and smelly in Grafton Street or O'Connell Street? Are you moved by compassion with people who mistreated you, systems and religions? We need to be moved by compassion. Let me tell you three things about compassion. Compassion is costly at every level. Compassion costs you. It costs you physically. It costs you financially to go to Belarus. But compassion is costly. One day God looked down upon Ireland and he saw us. And we were lost. Because you see, no religion. Walking to knock on your hands and knees. I lived in Portugal for 10 years, and there's a place there called Fatima, and people used to walk 250 miles. It would take them months on their hands and knees trying to go to Fatima, hoping to find God. You can do that every day of your life. Not 250 miles on your knees. You'd be pretty walking pretty fast. But no religion can satisfy you. The only thing that can satisfy you is Jesus Christ. And one day, God looked down, and he says, there's no hope for the people of this community. And he turned to his son and he says, will you go and help them? And while our destiny waited in the heavens hushed, the birds stopped singing. Jesus looked down and he said, yes. And Jesus, the supernatural, became natural. And Jesus walked amongst us. And he died on the cross for us 2,000 years ago. That if we were to accept what he did for us, because when Jesus died, he took every bad thing away from us. It cost Jesus his life. Because he was compassionate for us. And it's going to cost everything we have to show compassion on others. I grew up in a Catholic home. I'm not going to go into this. Some of you have heard this before. And I despised everybody. My father, my grandfather, was imprisoned for being in the IRA. He was in prison for 7 years. He was in prison for 5 years on the SS Argenta, which was a ship moored in Belfast Lock. And he was kept in a cage 23 hours a day. For 5 years. Now, obviously, he tried to kill a few people, so he deserved some things. But I grew up in underneath the Christian Brothers with all of that means. I didn't need a Murphy report to tell me what all that means. And they told me a twisted side of the situation in Ireland. And I grew up believing that all Protestants were weird. And I later found out that that's not totally true. And I grew up despising everybody. Now, when I was 16 years of age, which was last Tuesday, just joking, it's been a hard life, I joined, I'm not going to enlist, the youth movement of the IRA. And over the next 13, 14 years, I was involved in the troubles of Northern Ireland. And it so destroyed me that I lost all conviction and all feeling. I literally couldn't care about people living or dying. I always had a sense of humor, but it's hard to understand why I laughed at people dying. Because I was convinced that Protestants had taken over Northern Ireland, and I wanted to join with Southern Ireland, not just for their music. But I wanted Ireland to be one country, and I truly believed in this. But you see, as hundreds and eventually thousands of people died, and I looked around me and I said, nothing is changing here. And then when the IRA started to do this indiscriminate bombing, I'm not here to give a political speech. You see, I believed that Protestant and English people should die because it was a war, just like the Second World War, just like the war in Iraq. Those people got to die, but we're good people. I couldn't understand why they were putting off bombs in Northern Ireland and killing Catholics. Because Catholics were good, they were bad. Why were we killing each other? And I became depressed. I knew they couldn't leave the IRA. There's no way once you're in I could leave. And what else was there for me anyway? I was 28 years of age. And so I sat on the side of my bed one night and I made a decision in Andersonstown, Belfast. And I made a decision to die. I actually said, I'm going to die. But I was too much of a coward to kill myself. Irish people are like that, you know. And I was a romantic. All Irish men are romantic. The women don't believe us, but we are. Girls, you don't know what you got. We're not appreciated. Let's go to Belarus on a bus. They love us there. And I thought maybe if I died in action, they would write a song about me. Oh, Michael boy, the pipes, the pipes. It's been done before. And no matter what I did, I couldn't die. It was like some cheap movie. People around me were dying, I couldn't die. And finally I got to the point, what am I going to do? I don't want to kill myself, but I don't want to. And one day, and some of you know this, God walked into my life through a young girl. Now, she was kind of a good-looking young girl. I was working on a dead-end job because I needed money. You know, Irish people are not stupid. I didn't work, but I showed up for my wages. And some of you know what I'm talking about. May God forgive us. And one day they said, there's a girl in here. There's a girl in there. There's lots of girls in here. And they said, no, this girl is a Protestant. And I want a Protestant in here. This is a Catholic firm. What's she doing in here? And just then the door opened and I looked across and there was the girl. You've seen me do this before. And I went, wow. She was. I forgot this was a church. Shh. I thought it was in O'Hannigan's bar there. She was nice. I mean, I won't tell you what I want. I went, wow. And they were introducing her to everybody, and I made sure I was last. And are there any single people here? I'm going to help you this morning. She came up to me. She said, been introduced. And I give her my best move. Now, single people, watch this. This is going to transform your life. I mean, look, mass hysteria could break out here this morning. I want security guards at the front. She walked up to me and I went, hi. Could you bring water to those two women at the back, please? And she looked at me and said, you got a problem. She was a typical Irish woman. And she says, you need Jesus. And I went, you're a Protestant. She says, no, I'm a Christian. I said, I'm a Christian. She says, no, you're what? No, you're not a Christian. I said, I'm going to watch you. And I watched her. I watched her. And she, from the background, came. It cost. See, compassion is costly at every level. Secondly, compassion is convincing at every level. See, I was a cynic. I hated everybody. I laughed. I didn't care who you were. I didn't like anybody. But in the middle of war, bombs falling, even though she was cute, it gets beyond that. There was something about her. There are people in this church this morning, maybe the first, second, or third time. And you're saying, what is it about this place? Why are they singing with their hands in the air? Why are most of the girls that went to Belarus 6 foot tall? Why are you saying? If you're short, you come to this church, God will make you grow. I mean, seriously. I noticed. Because there's no answer to love. There's no answer to love. And this girl, I'm going to make this girl crawl to me. But no matter what I did, she stood there, little Miss Holy. I knew one name in the Bible, Moses, so I called her Holy Moses. And I would lie to her and cheat. Don't you get tired of the phoniness? Don't you get tired of the hypocrisy? Don't you get tired of the systems that don't work and the, you know, the books in the library, 10 ways to be thin, 7 ways to be good looking, 4 ways to get rid of your mother-in-law. I've still got some copies left. And I mean, you get tired of religion, you get tired of trying, you get tired of failure, and you just get tired. Do you ever get so tired of yourself? The hurt and the anguish, and it's like some elusive butterfly life, and you're always trying to reach out and... Let me offer you Jesus this morning. second chances, third chances, fourth chances. I've got a grandson. He's 5. My daughter's a single mother, and that's another story, but she loves the Lord with all her heart and soul. You know what my grandson's called? You ready for this? Angelus Manuel Diego McNamee. When my daughter told me that, I went, why don't we call him Chung as well and cover all the continents? I worship him. We have a little photograph of him and a little crystal. We're nuts. He lives in America, and we put a light underneath it. It's a true story. We're like, I'm sick. And my wife and I turn, we live in Belgium, we turn lights off in our home in Belgium and turn the light on and watch his photograph. I'm looking for a place to put flowers beneath it. He can do anything. I worship him. Angelus Manuel Diego, I love him. He says to me the other day, he was home for Christmas, Daddy, you're my best friend. I'm filthy, I'm dirty, I'm bald. I'm his best friend. I give him second chances, third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances. You broke a window, we got another couple of windows. You broke that one too, we'll get 2 more new windows in. Who cares? You see, love convincing. I love this. And no matter what you've done and what you do, love convinces. Those kids in Belarus, they don't know what you're talking about. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. You've got a Dublin accent. I mean, sometimes Noel speaks. I don't know where to go to. I don't. Okay, Noel, I give him money. That always helps. Maybe that'll appease him. But if you just shove, I want to touch a baby. I want to hold a baby. I want to go to Grafton Street and see a drunk and say, you don't have to be like this. You don't have to be like this. Love is convincing. And finally, compassion is at the center of all God's activity. I offer you Jesus Christ this morning. Jesus Christ is at the center of all God's activity. God loves you this morning. He sees something in you. You can do anything. You know, when I sing in church, I'm the worst singer in the world. I hate it because I love to sing. You know, I got the moves. Some. You know, I got the looks. My wife always wanted a movie star. Always wanted to marry a movie star. And she told me I looked like Tom Cruise from a distance of 5 miles. And from a distance of 5 feet, I look like Shrek. God loves me. A Stradivarius violin is the most expensive violin in the world. It can sell for millions of euro. And they found one in Austria, and they fixed it up. And they asked the most famous violinist in Austria. He's so famous, I can't remember his name, but he asked him, Herr Flick. They asked him, they asked her, Seamus O'Shaughnessy Flick, they asked him to play this fiddle violin in Vienna at the biggest hall in the world. It was in all the news, and everybody was talking about it, this Stradivarius violin. And the guy got actually quite ticked, because he was a great violinist, and everybody's calling about the violin. He got annoyed. And so he went in Vienna, and he bought a cheap violin, cheap one. He didn't tell anybody. And the crowd was full, thousands of people. You know, the Austrians love that sort of thing. And I prefer an Irish pub myself. But they, and so everybody was excited. And the curtain went across. And he walked out carrying, they believed, the Stradivarius. And he played Beethoven's concerto. The strings, literally, and the people went ballistic. And they screamed and yelled, what a violin. And the guy, when he was finished, grabbed the violin and walked over to an amplifier and crashed the violin. 2 people cried. 1 woman was never heard of again. And They were screaming and yelling. They called the police. He's just broken. And then he walked underneath and he took out the Stradivarius. If that's my wife, tell her I'm just joking. And he said, it's not the violin that did that. It was me. A little arrogant, of course. But we're like, you know what? Sometimes we think we're that cheap violin. We're all broken up and stuff. But the Spirit of the Lord, and one last story, and then we'll bring all this together. It was a festival in an inner city in New York. And this guy was selling balloons filled with helium, colored balloons. And every time sales were down, he would let one of the balloons go and would go up in the air, and all the kids would go, look at the balloon, I want a balloon. And standing just off to the side was a little Afro-American black boy. Disheveled, no shoes, scarred, greasy hair. Obviously, you know, coming from a bad home. And he was watching the balloon salesman. And he walked over and he grabbed the knees, trousers of the baby one. And the guy looked down, the balloon salesman holding the balloons, and the little black boy, filthy, scarred. He says, mister, can I ask you a question? When you let one of the black balloons go, will it go up in the air too? And the balloons man looked at him and he understood what he was trying to say. And he says, son, it's not the color that makes them go up. It's what's inside them. No. Every one of us this morning, I sometimes look in the mirror, Brian, and I don't like what I see. That girl that led me to the Lord, that's what she did. She brought me to a meeting and led me to the Lord. And when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into my life, that night I heard that somebody had died for me. I'd seen people who died. And cry to hell, people who died in explosions. And I said, Jesus, can you possibly love somebody like me? And it overwhelmed me. Because everything about God is compassion. And I accepted Jesus Christ. And he cleaned me from the inside out. And you know the good-looking girl? I married her. Because I'm not stupid. And our two daughters look like her. He's a miracle working God. But sometimes I look at myself and I say, I can't do this. Have you ever said that? I just can't do this anymore. I'm beaten down, I'm broken. I'll never get beyond this addiction. I'm never gonna do this. It's too much. It's not you. It's that which is inside you. Will lift you up above this. It's the compassion of God. Receive it. Give it away. Compassion is convincing. Compassion is costly. And compassion is at the center of everything that God does. Simple word, liberty. You're full of compassion. Don't stop. If you're here for the first time, and I ask you a straight question, if you were to die at this moment, where would you go? Because people joke about that, I'll give you a couple of seconds. Finally, I say, if you were a dad this moment, where would you go? The Bible clearly says this. Religion, no person, a new prime minister, 6 Murphy reports, Chelsea won the FA Cup, will not help you. 2,000 years ago, on the cross of Calvary, a man called Jesus, full of compassion, died for you. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I can't make it. Forgive me. Come into my life by your Spirit. Let your compassion surge through me. Clean me from the inside out. And the Bible is clear this, you will never be the same again. Christians, don't look down. Look up. He loves you. He loves you just as you are. And church, may what you have and what I feel in this place, may it go to Belarus, Belgium, Albania, Latin America. You've got it. The compassion of the living God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, I love you. Even sharing this story this morning has convicted me. Why would you love me, God? I am filthy. I've done so much stuff. It overwhelms me, Lord God. I remember as if it was yesterday, I reached out and I said, God, through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, help me. And you cleanse me from the inside out.